Hey there, thanks for tuning in. This is Pastor Rex Baker, pastor of Pursuit Church, and we're so glad that you have tuned in today to hear the teaching of God's Word. I pray that it will encourage you and draw you closer to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let's listen in.
Well, good morning. You know, my wife and I, my wife Ruth, and I have... I knew that. We've been worshiping with you from time to time, and so some of you we have met and seen you, but this is the first time I've been able to share God's Word with you, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. We are still in the Easter season, and one of the things that Pastor Rex said that on Easter, it was a thing to do to greet each other by saying, "He is risen," and then answering, "He is risen indeed," and he also mentioned that we Lutherans quite often like to stick the word "Alleluia" after the word "He is risen indeed." And so I'm just going to try that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. And the Easter season actually goes all the way through Pentecost. And so that's where we're at here today. Anyway, I guess I've already been introduced. Thanks, Bobby, for so you know a little bit about me. But what I want to talk about this morning, a couple verses to get us started out. Know that the Lord is God. Psalm 100, verse 3. And be still and know that I am God. From Psalm 46, verse 10. There's a story about a man who was walking out in a thick forest and a storm comes up. And not only that, he gets lost. And so he's walking along for a while trying to find his way, and he sees a light up in the distance. And he goes up, and he notices it's a monastery. And so he goes up and knocks on the door, and the abbot of the monastery, he's the head priest, he comes to the door, and the man asks if he could come in out of the rain. Well, the abbot says, "Well, you know, come on in, and why don't you have dinner with us?" Well, after dinner... it was still stormy outside, so he said, "Well, why don't you stay overnight with us?" And the man says, "Well, I could only stay overnight with you if you can allow me to have certain items to take with me up to my room for my own personal use." And they said, "Well, what are those items?" And he says, "Well, what I need a pound of butter, I need a paper sack, I need a shovel, a baseball bat, and a saxophone." Well, they thought that was kind of interesting. But they scrounged around and they found all those things in the monastery. And so they gave them to him and he took them up to his room. And all the monks that were in rooms near his room that night heard some strange squeaks and sounds coming out of the room. Well, he comes back down next morning. The storm's still going on. So they invite him, "Why don't you stay with us one more night?" And he said, "Well, remember, you know, I can only stay with you if I can have these items to take up to my room with me, the pound of butter, the paper sack, the shovel, the baseball bat, and the saxophone." And they let him take those up there, and every single night that he stayed with them, he took those items up to his room, and every single night, the monks that were in rooms around his heard these strange squeaks and sounds coming out of his room. Until one morning, he comes down, the storm's done, and so he's going to leave. And the abbot walks him to the door, and he says, "You know," the abbot says, "we really appreciated having you with us. We really enjoyed it, and we really appreciated being able to share those items that you needed to take up to your room with you." And he said, "But if you don't mind, could you tell me what were those things for? Why did you have those things?" And the man says, "Well, you know, it's a family secret, and it's been in the family for years. But if you promise not to tell another person what I tell you, I will tell you." And so he told the abbot, and the abbot, of course, being a man of his word, never told another soul. And so we'll never know. I want to start that story like that because what I want to talk about this morning is about things that we can know. Specifically, things that we can know about God. In fact, as much as we might like to think of God as a mystery, and a lot of people talk about him as a mystery, I think he is somewhat of a mystery, isn't he? But the fact is, God wants us to know him. And he wants us to know that it is easy to know him. Now, to begin talking about this, I want to ask you, how many of you, as a child, were taught to believe in the Easter Bunny? Okay, we just had Easter, you know, and we see the Easter Bunny. How many of you were taught to believe in the Tooth Fairy? Okay, how many were taught to believe in Santa Claus? Okay, how many were taught that you should always wear clean underwear in case you get in an accident? Okay, yeah. You know, I think we realize that there are a lot of things that we learn growing up, that we learn to believe in. And most of those things that we're taught are pretty harmless. But there are some of those things that we are taught that are not harmless. In fact, there are some things that we are taught that can rob us of our happiness. And a lot of those things that we are taught are things that we learn about God. And so I'm going to ask you to think about, what is it that you really believe about God? And how you answer that question is going to affect you in big ways. It can affect every area of your life. It can affect how you look to your future. It can affect how you think about your past. It affects how you're going to live today. What you believe about God affects every area of your life. And so I'm going to ask if you'll just bear with me here. Close your eyes for a moment and picture God. So what do you picture when you picture God? Does he look like some old guy standing up on a cloud with a long white beard and a long white robe, and he's looking at you, watching you, with kind of an angry look on his face? And anytime you start having any kind of fun, he starts shaking his finger at you and saying, no, 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 you mustn't do that. Or do you picture God as kind of like a Santa Claus? You know, if you're good and you God sees you to be a good person, he's going to give you good gifts. Or, of course, if you're bad, he won't. Or do you see God as kind of like an emergency God, where you just kind of put him in a box and put him up on a shelf, and you kind of just leave him there for a rainy day, and you kind of say, okay, God, I'll get to you if I ever need you. And it's only when you get into trouble that you take the box down from the shelf and open it up and tell God, okay, now I believe in you. You know, I really think it's important to think about this, because I really believe that the world, the media, a lot of people do a great job of distorting the true picture of God. And the problem with not having a true picture of God is that it often causes people to say things like, well, I guess I really don't believe in God because I don't believe in the kind of God that I think he is. For instance, some are going to say, well, you know, I don't believe in a God who causes suffering. I don't believe in a God who will allow innocent children to suffer and die. And when I hear people say things like that, I'm going to say, well, you know, I don't believe in that kind of God either. Because the God I believe in is the one that you're going to read about in the Bible. And the Bible certainly doesn't talk about a God like that. The problem is, so many people like to say things like, well, you know, I don't really know what the Bible says, but I think, dot, dot, dot. You ever hear anybody say that? The thing is, if you want to find out the truth about God, you have to go with what God says, because he knows a whole lot more about himself than you and I do. And I really have no doubt that if people really understood what God was truly like, they would have no problem knowing him and trusting him and following him. And one of the things that God tells us over and over again in the Bible is about his love for us. He says, I love you. I care about you. You know, in fact, it's impossible for me not to love you. You ever think about that? It's impossible for God not to love you. Of course, someone might say, well, you know, how do I know that's true? I mean, if I really knew that was absolutely true, it would be great news. But how do I know? Well, we recently celebrated Easter. He is risen. Hallelujah. Okay, just make sure you're not sleeping. But of course, the Easter story is all about this, isn't it? That God has proven his love for us over and over again in so many ways. But this morning, I want to share with you three of those ways. First of all, God loves you so much that he wanted to show you and me that he's real. Remember I said at the very beginning that God, I don't think, wants to be a mystery to us. He wants us to know him, and so he's going to do whatever he can to make sure that we know that he's real. I mean, just look at the world around us. I mean, you can't help but learn about God by just looking at the world around us. For instance, we can see God is organized. There's an amazing order to his world. Like the orbiting stars and the orbiting moon and the sun. You know, I don't have to wake up every morning and wonder from which direction the sun's going to come up. We know it's going to come up in the east every single morning. Scientists tell us that the axis, there's a whole lot of stuff about the way the world is situated, like the tilt of the axis of the earth and why it's just the right angle. And you know, if we were just even a fraction closer to the sun, we would burn up. And if we were just a fraction farther away from the sun, we would freeze to death. And so we learn God's organized. Just look at the human body. Just look at a little tiny baby. I mean, nobody could hold a tiny little baby and not know that God is real. We also know by looking at nature that God is powerful. Look at the power in the sun, in the wind, in the ocean waves, the power in just a single atom. We know that God is creative. He loves beauty. Did you see the sunrise this morning? Anybody up to see the sunrise? Wow. Look at all those colors. I think, you know, God could have, if he wanted to, he could have said, why don't we just go with black and white? You know, he could have done that. But he created those colors, and he even created us eyes to have the rods and the cones and all those things so we can see those colors and appreciate them. Or just, for example, look at my wife. I mean, sorry, honey. But that's God's creation at his finest. But, the most important thing that you need to know about God, you can't learn from nature. And if only the only stuff that we know about God is from what we learn from nature, if that's all, we would have a pretty limited view of God. So God came up with a second way to know him. In John 1, verse 18, he says this, and let's read this together. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And so the Bible goes on to talk about 2,000 years ago how God came to this earth in Jesus as a tiny, vulnerable little baby so that people could learn about him, so people could learn about God. For instance, I remember as a kid, I'm sure you all did stuff like something like this. I used to play with ants, and I'd get a little breadcrumb, and I'd put it down in a bunch of ants, and I'd like to watch them take off little pieces of the bread and then take it to their hole. But you ever notice they never just take it right straight back to the hole. They go all over here, and they go over down here, and then they go over here, you know. And I used to say as a kid, you know, I wish I could be an ant so I could communicate with them and teach them how to do it in a straight line. But of course, if I wanted to communicate with ants, I would have to become an ant, right? And God wanted to communicate to humans. And so in order for him to be able to communicate with us, he had to become a human. And of course, we know him as Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus came as the light. Jesus said in John 9, verse 5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He became light so that he could reveal God to the world. In other words, God came to earth in Jesus, in human form, to let himself be known. We can look at Jesus and we can say, that's what God's like. That's what God's like. And when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, there were people who wrote down what Jesus said. One of his disciples named Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. Well, Jesus says back to Philip, he says, Philip, don't you know me? Even after I've been here with you all this time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. In fact, Jesus made a lot of bold statements. One time he even said, I'm God. And he said, I'm the only way to heaven. If you want to know the way, not one of the ways, the way to heaven. If you want to know the truth, you're not going to find it except through me, he said. And Jesus said, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it by letting them kill me, and I'm going to die, and on the third day, rise from the dead, and I'm going to do this to forgive you of your sins. And of course, that's exactly what he did. He came back to life again. And that's why over 1 billion people every year celebrate Easter. He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have eyewitness accounts from all kinds of people here in the Bible that testify that when Jesus said, I'll be back, he meant it. He meant it. And so that's the first point. God cares so much about you and me that he wanted to show you and me that he is real. He wanted you to and me to know him as a real entity. But there's more. He not only wants us to know that he's real and what he's like, but he also cares enough about you and me to save us. Now, there's a lot of people in this world, maybe not you, but there's a lot of people who are going to say things like, well, I don't need saving from anything. I'm just fine by myself, you know. The way I think about it, I think about it like this. When our son Josh, sorry, Josh, I'm going to talk to you about you. When he was very little, we almost lost him 3 times that we know of. Once he was pushed into a lake and almost drowned. When we were living over in Madagascar, he got malaria a number of times. One time he had cerebral malaria and almost died. Once he pulled, we didn't have electricity over there, so we used kerosene lamps. And one time he pulled a bottle of kerosene on top of himself and all over himself. We were great parents, weren't we? But at each of those times, he was too little to take care of himself. And each time, he desperately needed a savior. He desperately needed to be saved. But, you know, I don't even think he had a clue that he needed saving. He didn't have the slightest clue that he needed saving. You might not ever have realized how much you need a savior, but you do. If you didn't need a savior, Jesus wouldn't have bothered to come down here to this earth and go through everything that he went through to die on the cross for you and me. You remember when the angels came at Christmas time to announce that Jesus was coming? They said, rejoice, a savior has been born. The angel even tells Joseph, this is Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, he said that Mary would give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. We know the word Jesus means God's salvation. So right in his name, we know what Jesus came to do. His name is going to be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So you might ask, well, so what is he going to save me from? Well, for one thing, he came to save you from yourself. You know, as a pastor, I have had opportunity to talk to many people about their lives and about their problems. And I'm always amazed at how much guilt everybody seems to carry around with them. And it's true, we've all made mistakes. There's nobody who's perfect. We've all broken God's laws. We all deserve to be punished. But here's the good news. Christ died to save you and me from the penalty of our sins. God says, my justice demands that somebody's got to pay for these wrongs that you have done. But my love demands that I pay that penalty myself. In other words, he took our place, which is what he means when he says, I'm your Savior. He became our Savior. Every sin you have ever committed and every sin you will ever commit has already been paid for by Jesus on the cross. That's just good news. And so he wants to save you from your guilt that you carry around with you. Secondly, he came to save you from a meaningless life. John 10:10 says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. You know why he said that? Because he knows that there are a lot of people who just spend their lives just existing, not really living. A lot of people felt that during the pandemic. Maybe you did. You know, just sitting in your home a lot, not being able to do what you wanted to do. You know, a lot of people just felt like, you know, there's nothing going on. But the problem is there's a lot of people who do that all their lives. They just wake up in the morning, they maybe go to work, they come home, watch television, go to bed, wake up, and do the whole thing over and over again. They're not living, they're existing. And the thing is, they don't know how to live. They don't know why God put them here on this earth in the first place. They don't realize that God created a purpose for every single person that he created. Jesus said, I came to save you from a meaningless life. I don't want you to just live, just to exist. I want you to live. I created you with a purpose, and I want you to know that purpose. You know, I have no doubt that there are some people, maybe people here this morning, who are facing major life decisions. And without Jesus in your life, you're heading for disaster. It's inevitable. It's like maybe somebody who just jumped off a 50-story building, and halfway down, somebody says, so how's it going? And they say, so far, so good. But the end is never a doubt, is it? And I want to say to you today that I really believe this happens every Sunday. I really believe that God planned that you would be sitting here this morning so that he could get your attention and to say to you, I love you. I care about you. Remember, I have a purpose for you. I want what's best for you. So he cares enough for you to want to let you know that he's real. He cares enough to save you from your guilt and from a meaningless life. But there's something even more amazing. He cares so much about you that he wants to have a personal relationship with you. The Bible tells us that God made us specifically for his pleasure. Did you know that? That's why God created you. Not for you, but for him. God wanted to have a special relationship with us. In other words, you're not on this earth to make money, retire, and die. God wants you to have an eternal relationship with you. And when I think about that, that's the most amazing thing that I can imagine, that God wants to have a special relationship with me. You know, I never forget the day when I finally understood that, when I knew that God was real. It was actually when I was back in college. You know, it was the first time I was away from home. And so I just decided I'm just going to do whatever I want to do because that's what I wanted to do. And one of the things I didn't want to do was to do things like go to church. I mean, you know, I would go now and then, Christmas, Easter, things like that, you know, because my dad was a pastor and, you know, some people would expect that. But, you know, even though I thought of myself as a Christian, I never wanted anybody to get the idea that I ever needed God. But then, I'll just say, long story short, stuff happened. I started partying and doing things that I I thought were going to make me have a great time, but something was missing. And I remember at night, I would go to my room, and I would feel this empty feeling, and really alone. And I found that there was only one who I could really talk to, who really understood, and that was God. I started figuring out that God was the only friend that I could really count on when things got tough. For some reason, he just seemed to be around. He let himself be known to me sitting there in my room. That's something I couldn't say about some of my other friends. And so I started reading the Bible, rereading the Bible. And I started talking to him more. And I started going back to church regularly. And as I look back over my life, I see that it was right at that time that life just started getting better. One thing that I want to just say before I stop talking, and that is that God wants you to know him because he really wants you to need him. Let me say that again. God wants you to know him because he wants you to need him. Well, what does it mean to need God? And I'm not talking about needing him when we stand before him on Judgment Day. That's not what I'm talking about. He wants us to need him each and every day. Every single morning when we wake up and we start making plans for the day, he wants to be part of those plans. He wants to be involved in our lives. You heard that my wife and I served as missionaries in Madagascar, and I really believe that God sent me to a primitive country like Madagascar. I'm a city boy. I grew up in the city. But he sent me to a primitive country to teach me that there is only one person I ought to depend on, and that person is not me. Last Sunday, when I was here, if you were here too, Pastor Rex talked about character and about personality. And he mentioned a type A personality. And he says, you'll always know who is a type A personality because they'll let you know. Well, I'm a type A personality, which means I'm very analytical. My motto is, if you want something done right, do it yourself. Yep. And so I really believe that God sent me as a missionary to teach me to depend on him rather than myself. You know, one of the things that you realize living in a primitive country like Madagascar is you don't have all the resources that you have here in the United States. You who have children, what's the very first thing you do when they get sick? You probably call the doctor first, right, to get an appointment or something like that. And then you'll go take them to, I'm talking about if they're really sick, you know, so you take them to urgent care or you take them to the emergency room. And then you have to fill out all those papers. You show them your insurance card. And then what do you do next? You wait. That's right. You wait. Then you wait some more, right? You know. And then finally you get in probably to see the nurse or the doctor or whatever. So when is it in that list of things that you do, when is it do you talk to the one who loves your child more than you do and cares for your child more than you do? Is that step 7 or 8 or whatever? Well, one time, actually a number of times, when our son Josh, sorry Josh, I'm not talking about Jess this morning, I'm talking about Josh, sorry. But there was a time when he got really sick. We were out in the country, and he had 105 temperature. And we got really scared. And he had diarrhea on the half hour. And he was a plump little baby, but over 3 days, as he got sicker and sicker, we watched our plump little baby get skinnier and skinnier as he got sicker and sicker. And I remember I couldn't do a thing. This type A, do-it-yourself personality could not do a thing. We didn't have the resources that I would depend on while I'm here in the United States. We had no phone. And of course, we didn't have a doctor or nurse to call, even if we had a phone. We had no hospital nearby. My Land Rover's engine was half on the ground, on the floor of my garage at the time, so we couldn't go anywhere in the car. And plus, we were not supposed to go in the car anyway because there was a bandit problem going on. Bandits would set up big rocks on the road and stop cars and rob them and even do a lot of worse things. But because we didn't have all those resources that I get so used to living here in the United States, without all those resources, God was able to get my attention enough to point me to the one resource that was always available anywhere, the one that I always ought to put as number one on my priority list. And so because we didn't have all those other resources, all Ruth and I could do was get on our knees. And for 3 days and three nights, we just prayed. We put everything, we staked everything on the greatest physician of all, on our Heavenly Father. And I can tell you, I really learned to know God more than I'd ever known him before. And my faith grew so much during that time. The thing is, only when I was completely helpless could God show me his power. And I felt God's love and his grace as he cared for Josh and as he healed him. And to this day, God finds ways of reminding me, Dave, remember me first. I'll lead you and guide you. Don't start doing and doing and doing. First, depend on me. You know, God is one who just loves to be needed. He actually loves to be needed. And now that we're back here in the United States, we've been back here in the United States for a long time, sometimes I forget all that I have just got shared with you. And I start thinking that I can take care of things on my own. It happens. I forget. Now, I have to tell you this. This next thing I'm going to tell you is you're not necessarily going to find it in the Bible, but this is from Dave. And it's something I've learned from living my life in relationship with God. You know, Paul did that once in a while. He would say, okay, this is not from Paul. I mean, this is not from Jesus. This is from Paul. But I want to share with you that something that I really believe about God. I really believe that God sometimes when I get into real trouble and start focusing on all these other resources that we have here in the United States, I think sometimes God will just sit back and he'll say, okay, Dave, I'm going to watch how those resources work for you. I think he'll just stand back. Now, you might not believe this, but this is how I see it. Now, I do believe that the doctors, nurses, and hospitals and things like that, those are all gifts from God. And I've seen God do miracles through doctors and nurses and hospitals. But if we are putting our trust in all these other resources and not first and foremost on him, as I said, I think God sometimes is just going to sit back and wait. And he says, you know what? I'm going to wait for you to need me, to look at me as your one resource, priority, before I step in. Now, you might want to question me about that theology, but I really believe that. And to this day, I know as God abides in you and God abides in me, and we abide in him, he's going to constantly find ways of reminding you and me, hey, my sons and daughters, don't just start running around and doing things as if you're depending on yourself, as if you got everything under control. I'm your priority, and you need to need me in order to know me. And if you know me, you're going to know how much I love you and how much I can do for you. Amen. Let's pray. And after that, after I pray, maybe the prayer team could remember to start coming forward. Because there might be some prayers that you will want to also share with our priority God. This morning, maybe the Holy Spirit has moved you in certain ways. So that's what the prayer team is here for. So they're going to be here. But I just want to pray right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a God who cares so much about us and loves us so much that you want us to know you. We know, Lord, that you do want to have a personal relationship with us, and that is just amazing. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to need you and to trust you and to depend on you and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. There's the prayer team. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his everlasting favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's teaching at Pursuit Church. We pray that the teaching today will encourage your faith in Jesus Christ to draw you closer to him and give you a better understanding of his word. If there's a way that we can minister to you, pray for you, or encourage you in your faith, please reach out to us on our website, pursuitnazarene.org, and click on connection card. Also, you can share this video with others and encourage them. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.